firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord.
What's the greatest prayer in the Bible? Well, I'm sure that if we sat down around a table and talked this over with our fellow Bible bus passengers, we could have quite an interesting discussion. Welcome to Through the Bible. Today, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, takes us to 1 Chronicles chapters 28 and 29 and tells about a prayer that we should consider worthy to be included on that list of greatest prayers. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, inviting you to join us for another great journey in God's Word. But before we open our Bibles and get started, let me introduce Through the Bible's President, Greg Harris, who's here to give us an update on the travels of our world prayer team. Greg, as you know and I know, the team is in Northeast Asia this week. So why don't you tell us about Through the Bible's ministry in that area?
Love to do that, Steve. And I will remind all our listeners that the World Prayer Team prays for a different region of the world every week. So this week, as we pray for Northeast Asia, we'll be praying for a broadcast and ministry in places like China, Japan, Mongolia, North Korea, and Taiwan.
Now, I know we've talked earlier this month about the challenges we've had in Japan, even getting a broadcast. We were on a satellite network. We were off. Now we're on 11 FM stations. Great story there. Mongolia, new church, oldest people, elders in the church, if you will, are in their mid-30s. A lot of exciting growth going there. North Korea. Tell us a little bit about North Korea, how we're broadcasting there.
Well, we have a couple of high-powered transmitters on the what they call medium wave or AM frequency, and that's very important because North Korea, I'm sure most of our listeners have heard about it, read about it in the news. Yeah. It is one of the, in my opinion, one of the most unusual places on the planet.
Hermit nation, I hear a lot.
It is a hermit nation. It is really not even communist, in my opinion. It is a cult of personality.
Yeah.
It all harkens back to the days when the pharaohs and the Caesars would have their people declare that they were gods.
Yeah.
So this is what you're dealing with. And so having a shortwave radio is very dangerous, but they do have AM radios because the North Korean government broadcasts on the AM band.
Mm-hmm.
So you could literally go to a concentration camp for having a shortwave radio because they think you're getting information from outside. So God has allowed us to broadcast on these powerful transmitters. And of course, we don't get letters or direct feedback, but we hear incrementally through other ministries that are going in on the ground that people are listening and lives are being changed.
Right, and I think that's a part of the world that we just always have to have some type of a presence. We've got to be going in. And in that case, we've talked about different delivery methods.
Yes.
In North Korea, radio is by far the best way to get there.
It is, and I'm not at liberty to disclose, but our partners use some very creative methods to get even radios into the country so that people can listen. So just use your imagination.
Okay, we'll do that. Now, the only other country that we haven't talked about is Taiwan. What's going on in that part of the world?
Well, Taiwan, of course, is you know politically a very controversial part of the world. Is it part of China? Is it not? We don't get involved in that. We just give the gospel in Mandarin to Taiwan. It is a very economically developed country, and a lot of people are listening online and through the internet, and we do get some good responses.
As you mentioned responses, let's go into a couple of the letters that we've recently received or email correspondence. First, from Mandarin. I listen to your programs every day, and we have received quite a lot of training. Our hearts are equipped to serve God. Quite a lot of brothers and sisters around this area listen to your programs. We listen together, have fellowships together, and receive lots of help. That sounds like a church to me.
Yes, and that sounds like something we hear happening all over the world, Steve.
Yeah. Thank you for your teachings is how they conclude the letter. Greg, there's another one. This one's from Mongolia. Why don't you read that one?
This listener writes, we heard that there was a new station in our area and that a church was giving away radios. These are the solar-powered radios from a group called Galcom, and they distribute radios in Mongolia. We were able to get one and began listening right away. We love the Through the Bible program and now study the Word. As we listened, our whole family came to believe in Jesus and attend the local church. Sometimes we are unable to sleep, so we turn on the radio and hear the program again. That's because it airs at 2 p.m. and then it airs at 2 a.m.
Wow.
So they wake up in the middle of the night and hear it. We have found we understand more the second time around. May God continue to bless this ministry.
That is such an encouragement. And if you would like to receive a daily email by being part of our World Prayer Team, it will be the highlight of your morning. I guarantee it. Just go to ttb.org/pray and sign up today. Greg, why don't you pray for us as we open our study?
Father, thank you for letting us take the word of God to so many difficult places like Northeast Asia. We pray you will bless your word and bring fruit through our efforts. And we pray that you will bring fruit in our lives as we study your word now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today we come to our last study in 1 Chronicles. We're at 1 Chronicles 28:12. I'll move back to verse 11 to pick up the thought here. But this is rather, I think, sad. We've come to the end of the life of David. We're not through with David, though. You can't get rid of him that easy. When we get to the book of Psalms, we're going to see how this man opened up his heart in so many ways, and we'll see why God could say he's a man after my own heart, and that we might be this kind of a person today. Now, you'll recall that we are in the section where the emphasis is upon David's preparation for the building of the temple, and his heart, his soul, is in this. This is the thing he wanted to do, and God would not permit him. He acquiesced in the will of God, but he made every preparation, and he has gathered the material, he's gathered the workmen, he has encouraged Solomon to build. Now, let me begin reading at verse 11 today. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof, and of the treasures thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, of the treasures of the house of God, and of the treasures of the dedicated things, also for the courses of the priests and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord. You see that David made every preparation for the building of the temple. He has the blueprint of it, and he has already organized the Levites to serve in it. Now, I mentioned last time that I was going to say just a word about the model of the temple that is in the model of Jerusalem at the Holy Land Hotel in Jerusalem. I think I call that the Holy City Hotel, but it's Holy Land Hotel. That sounds, I think, a little better than Holy City. Now, this model is not one you put on a table. They have built it in the rear of the hotel, out in the spacious gardens they have there. And it's one that you have to walk around. I would not be able to tell you just exactly the distance or the ratio of the buildings to the actual buildings, but I would say that it is 50 feet across. And it gives you a real conception of how Jerusalem looked. Now, in it, they have the model of the temple. Now, when we get over in 2 Chronicles, I'll spend a little time when we see Solomon building, and certainly the details are given to us here, and we're going to make a very interesting study of that because we're going to see that back in 1 Kings, certain things were omitted, and our attention now is directed to certain things that we didn't have back there, and it's the thing that God now takes delight in. The Lord has given us a great deal relative to the temple. Now, the models that you generally see of the temple are quite elaborate. It's a very imposing building and very large. And this, of course, would be Herod's temple. It was the last one that was there. I have here a model that comes from back about, I guess, 1964. And it is toned down a great deal to what the others were, and it probably gets into the area of how it really looked. But this model at the Holy Land Hotel, and I have, by the way, a picture of it, that is, of that model there. And we will make Xerox copies of this because it turns out real well, and send them to anyone that requests them, because I'd like for you to have this, and my feeling is that this will give you some conception of how the temple looked, and I could talk here for a couple of hours, And I have a notion you still would not have a conception of it, not because you wouldn't understand, but because I do not think I could adequately describe it. First of all, there is a simplicity about it. And I'm sure that that was there. It's always been made very complicated, and the details that are given to us in both Kings and Chronicles reveal a great deal of that. It was not as simple as the tabernacle was, but there was a simplicity about it. And it was not imposing in size, but it was a thing of beauty and of richness. It was not the size of it. It was the beauty of it brought about by the wealth that was bestowed on it. David very frankly told Solomon, he said, you do not need this tent. I've gathered the materials enough for you to build just exactly what you want to. And it's been estimated of how much it really cost, and it would be up in the millions of dollars, even in that day. And of course, today, it just wouldn't build anything like this. It was ornate and covered with a great deal of gold and silver and precious stones. And this was actually the way that God wanted it built, and I've always felt God's house ought to correspond to the neighborhood in which it is. Now, I do not like to see these great cathedrals put up in the area of poor community, in fact, a slum area. That's not the way it is. Now, if you're in an area of millionaires, why, you'd want something commensurate with them. However, I believe that today the emphasis should not be upon the building at all. That is not the important thing. I read a account of a conference they had in Jerusalem on prophecy. It would be laughable, many of the things they said there, if it wasn't for the fact that it is rather serious to see men make statements like that. One of the questions was, would the temple be rebuilt? One of the arguments given was that God does not live in a box and you can't box him in. Well, if you read the record here accurately, and I wish that brother had, he'd find out that Israel had no notion you could box God in. Solomon, in his prayer dedication, very frankly said, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. Why, the created universe can't contain God, and therefore Solomon says, how can this little house? It was a meeting place. It was for the glory and the honor of God. That is the important thing. Now today, God does not meet you in a building. He indwells individuals by the Holy Spirit today. And that is the thing that is important and the thing that we should emphasize, of course. Now, the thing that is amazing here is the heart of David. We are told here now to show you how ornate it was. Verse 14, he gave of gold by weight for things of gold, for all instruments of all manner of service. Silver also, for all instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments, every kind of service, even the weight for the candlesticks of gold, and for the lamps of gold by weight for every candlestick. The whole thought here is that there was no stinting, there was nothing parsimonious about the temple. It was a great expanse and expenditure of the wealth of the kingdom of David. And David did this in order to honor God. Now you will notice, verse 19, all this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. Now God gave to David the pattern of it. He picked the place, the threshing floor of Ornan. He also encouraged and inspired David, but would not let him build it. Now, verse 20, and David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Boy, I tell you, this man David wanted Solomon to get busy. He says, fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He'll not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Now, this Solomon's temple, of course, is different, we believe, than the one that we'll send you a Xerox copy of. And yet, there'll be a striking similarity. in it. The floor plan will be the same. And, of course, Herod's was not nearly as expensive as David's was. David lavished the wealth of his kingdom to do just this. Verse 21, "And behold, the courses of the priests, the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And thou shalt be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service, also the princes and all the people, be holy at thy commandment." You see, David had the kingdom in everyone, the priests, the workmen, the princes, the Levites, all stimulated and stirred up to do this. All Solomon had to do was just to do the thing David had already set up for him to do. Now we come to chapter 29, and actually the emphasis here now will shift to the kingdom. And this is the thing David had in mind in his dying day. And the center of that kingdom would be the temple, of course. Listen to this now, chapter 29. "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation." Now, this is his deathbed. You'll recall that when old Jacob was dying, he called in his son. Remember when Moses reached the end of his life, he had a message for all 12 of the tribes. Now, David has a message for the kingdom now, and he's come to the end of his life. Listen to him. "Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen." He makes it very clear that God did the choosing here, not David. "He's yet young and tender." That means he's a sissy. That's what he was. He was inexperienced. Old David was a veteran, you see. And I think David was rather hard-boiled, friends. Gracious, generous man. But he could be hard-boiled. And this boy Solomon is not experienced at all. And he says, "And the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God." Oh, the heart of David, my friend, putting God first. Verse 2, "Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron." And I'll move down to verse 3, "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for his holy name." And then he mentions the amount of it here. It's a tremendous thing. He says, "The gold for things of gold, silver for things of silver." Be no stinting, no holding back. Then in verse 6, "Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hunters with the rulers of the king's work, they offered willingly." Now, David gave everything he had to this. Now, there is a response on the part of the people. "And they gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents. Then verse 9, "Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy." He gave, you know, with joy. My friend, there used to be a motto that said, "Give till it hurts." Well, the world may have that motto. That's not God's motto. If it hurts you to give, don't give. Give when it brings joy to your heart and life. Give hilariously, Paul says. And this was a time of great rejoicing, you see. Now we come to verse 10. "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation." Now, here's David's great prayer. Listen to him. "And he said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever." He's the father of the nation Israel, you see, but not of the individuals. David never called him father. God said of David, "David, my servant." That's very interesting. The law never made a son of God. Only faith in Christ. We are sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, will you notice something here that may sound familiar to you? Verse 11, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that's in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. You'll recall when the disciples asked the Lord to teach them to pray, he gave them a prayer. He took them right back here to David's prayer. And this is the thing that was in the heart of David, you see. Thy kingdom come. And this is the words of brevity and simplicity. And it gathers up the aspiration and hopes of centuries. It is today one of the greatest prayers in Scripture. It's the greatest prayer in the Old Testament, and it's all comprehensive. It's majestic, it's adoration, it's praise, it's thanksgiving, it's repudiation of all human merit, and it's all human dependence upon God, self-humiliation, it's confession, it's dedication of everything, admitting that they already belong to God. This is a glorious prayer. Recognize that the kingdom is God's. This is a tremendous thing. Thine is the kingdom. This is where the Lord Jesus laid hold of this to teach his disciples. Now, the scripture concept of the kingdom is a kingdom that's eternal and it's temporal. It's universal and it's local. It's immediate and mediated. Generally speaking, I think it's just the reign of the heaven over the earth. You remember that when God created Adam, he gave him dominion. And now, what is the kingdom? Well, it's the rule of God over the earth. It means to restore God's rule. It's the recovery of the earth and bring it back under God's rule. And I hope that you don't think today that God's ruling in this world. You won't have the heartbreak. You won't have the tears, you won't have the disappointment, you won't have the wars. And this is the kingdom we should pray for. It will only come about in God's way. This will come about through divine protocol. And the divine aspects will be adhered to. Man will not be able to build this kingdom here on this earth. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can establish the kingdom. Thine is the kingdom. And I do not think what so-called Lord's Prayer is for public consumption. It's just not something to add to the ritual of a Sunday morning service. I personally believe that it's good for private devotion. Thine is the kingdom. That ought to be the prayer of every individual. This is a glorious way. David was looking to the coming of the kingdom here upon this earth. Now, verse 14, David says, "But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and thine own have we given thee." The very interesting thing, you can't give God anything. He owns it to begin with. But he can bless you, and he will bless you. The reason some of us are so poor and narrow-minded and little is because we are not generous with God. God can only bless us when we open up our hearts. Listen to him. "O Lord our God, all this store that we prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own." Oh, I wish I could stay here a week. This is wonderful. Now we read here verse 23. "Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him." Now listen to verse 26. "Thus David the son of Jesse reigned over all Israel. The time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron. 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches and honor. And Solomon his son reigned in his stead." This is the record that God has given. He wants you to know how he feels about David. Maybe you don't like David. God does. And I'm glad the Lord loved David and that the Lord dealt with David as he did, because David is so human. And I don't know about you, but Vernon McGee's very human. And I found out God will deal with him, too, just as graciously and just as good. And the Lord is good. Lord is wonderful. Oh, that we give praise to God. I can't build him a temple. But my friend, today we can offer the temple of the Holy Spirit these bodies of ours to him. Now, he doesn't get very much. That is when he gets me, but he's got me. My friend today. Oh, what joy it is. Be committed to him. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
What a great study in 1 Chronicles. If you missed any of these messages, or maybe you want to listen to them again, just visit us at ttb.org, and then be sure to join us tomorrow as we begin our study of 2 Chronicles. Now, if you haven't gotten your free copy of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for our studies in Chronicles, you can download them today at ttb.org/notes. And a new resource is available called Briefing the Bible. Now, this is a collection of all of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines in one place. And you'll find that online at ttb.org as well. Or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll tell you all about it. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat on the Bible bus just for you. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.